I'd like to welcome you to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry is not with us today. She's just landed in Italy about a day ago, and she's there to work on the Assisi Peace Center, which some of you may be familiar with. And if you'd like more info on that project, please go to the website at livingcompassion.org. That's livingcompassion.org. And I'm excited because Sherry's going to be in Italy for the next 2 months, and she's going to be joining us live every week, late at night her time, to take your calls. Today we have a previously recorded show on unconditional love and acceptance that I'm very excited about. So we won't be taking your calls today. And if you'd like to email us before next week, if you have one of those burning questions, you can drop us an email and we'll be glad to address it on the air next week, or you can give us a call next week as well. You can reach us by email at openair@kzsu.org. Also, archives of all of the shows are available at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. And without further ado, here we go. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Thank you.
Great. You're listening to KZSU Stanford at 90.1 FM in the Bay Area. On the internet, you can pick us up at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And Sherry, you have a website where if people are listening in and enjoying this and wanting to learn more, they can go check out what you're up to.
Yes.
SherryHuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. After our show today, stay tuned for DJ Decca at 6 p.m. with lots of great world music and the Bot of Euphony at 9 p.m. Sherry, today we're going to be talking about unconditional love and acceptance.
And we will, favorite topic of mine.
Favorite topic. And we will not be taking callers today, but when you're back in town, we'd love to hear from everybody. And if they'd like to email us in the meantime, you can send an email to openair@kzsu.org. Sherry, tell us about unconditional love and acceptance.
Well, I was talking with you about it recently, as you well know.
Yes.
And what I was telling you was about being in a conversation with someone, and a mutual person was being, from someone's perspective, difficult, or as we say, a spiritual opportunity. And my response to it was, because this was true, well, I have just decided to love him unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized when I made that decision how easy it made everything. Because I didn't have to go through what this other person was going through. You know, why does he say those things, and why does he act like that, and what, I mean, do you believe that he, and what a jerk, and all of these sorts of things that we do when we're deciding whether or not we're going to accept someone. Which is kind of silly when you think about it, but we do it all the time.
I hadn't thought of it in those terms of deciding to accept. Yes.
Or not. And it seems like in most cases it's the or not option. You know, a person just crosses some sort of line and we decide that that this is just not anything that we're interested in doing.
Yes.
But if we decide in advance to love the person unconditionally, it seems to me that that's based on the understanding that we all are opportunities. We are all
to ourselves
to ourselves and to everybody else.
Yes.
You know, we can all be the jerk, all be difficult to get along with, ignorant, deluded, you know, all of those things that we so dislike in other people. And so if we just approach it that yes, all of that is true, all of that is true, that yes, each one of us is all of those things. And that's not going to affect whether or not I see this person as unconditionally lovable and acceptable. So the unconditional aspect of it is with that understanding. It's not that I'm looking for somebody who isn't annoying so that I can love them unconditionally. You know, I mean, that makes it so much easier. But it's with the understanding that the person will be difficult and I will become annoyed, and there will be times when this person does things that I don't like, don't approve of, wish hadn't happened. And the love and acceptance is unconditional. There is no condition on which this is going to change.
Right. And as you were describing it, I can see what I do, which is to want to love someone unconditionally, given that they follow these guidelines.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Which
yes. Uh-huh.
Which just makes it conditional.
Yeah. If you will be who I want you to be, need you to be, expect you to be, if you follow my rules and see the world as I see it and
how it is,
and mirror me the way I want to be mirrored, then I'll love you unconditionally.
Yes.
Yeah. And, of course, I think the beauty of what you're pointing at is that under those circumstances, I'm not loving myself unconditionally. So how in heaven's name would I ever be able to love anybody else unconditionally? I'm following this rigid set of standards, and if I don't meet them, then I get the abuse that follows not being the right person, doing the right thing. My acceptance of myself is completely conditional, and I'm going to approach you the same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's a difficult place.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So that's why it's just so easy to make up your mind ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
And for years I've said that willingness is what's there when I don't want to.
Uh-huh.
Right? So life is easy when I want to. There's just I want to.
Right.
It's not okay. I want to.
Right.
Great. Here we go. And then I hit, I don't want to.
Yes.
So that's when I have to draw upon my willingness. Because what willingness means is, it's what I will do, whether I want to or not.
Unconditionally.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, it just makes it so easy.
Yes.
So I think that the reason people make commitments in relationship is because they know that there are going to be times when they don't want to be in the relationship.
Yes.
Because the person is really annoying, because they've been disappointing. They, I'm really angry. I can't see this going anywhere. You've really hurt my feelings. Whatever it is that causes me to say, no, this is unacceptable. I don't want to be here any longer. The commitment means I will go through those times and come out the other side.
Yes.
Back in a place where it's like temporary insanity. You know, I forgot who I am and who the other person is, and now I remember, and we're back on track. But if there weren't something there to keep me in place as I start flailing around in this conditioned reality, then I would be gone. I would come to somewhere down the road, maybe. And regretting the fact that I had made they say with suicide, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Uh-huh.
And it's that same thing. So I leave a situation that's temporary, and I leave it permanently. And then I'm left with the ramifications of that.
Yes.
So I make a decision about what I want to do when I am as centered and clear as I can be, and then I draw upon the strength of that decision when my resolve is wavering.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I love this person unconditionally. Good. Now, I don't have to be upset. I can be. I can be upset and disappointed, or any of the other things that I might feel, and I know that it has nothing to do with loving the person, accepting the person.
Yes,
I'm upset. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm feeling all of these things. And I still love this person unconditionally.
Yes.
If this is a temporary situation, I will come through it, and I will once again realize the value of this person and my commitment to the unconditional.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, as you were talking, it reminded me of something that occurred to me this past week, and that is that there's no useful information in fear, anxiety, overwhelm, panic. To me, that's
anger,
really...
anger, upset.
Yeah. It's big. There's no actionable, there's no useful, actionable place that, you know, I should go to based on that information.
Yes. That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels huge.
Yeah. So if I know that, then I know that it's essentially, it's like weather. Emotions are like weather,
right.
Aren't they? And
yeah.
So there's a big storm, and you just wait out the storm.
Yeah.
You don't have to get all upset about it or hate it or hate yourself or you just don't have to do any of that. It just passes through.
Yeah.
This too shall pass.
Yes.
Incredibly wise words. And if we can remember that, then we wait until it has passed and then we see where we are. And as you say, there's no helpful, worthwhile action to be taken in that period of temporary insanity.
Yes. And as you've talked about karma burning away, it has that flavor to it.
Yes.
It's
so
awesome.
Speaking of karma, you know, I have a karmic, we call it a karmic predisposition to, and then it's decide that people have let me down or betrayed a trust or been less than they should be or whatever it is. And we can certainly identify these karmic predispositions because they've happened to us in relationship after relationship, situation after situation. So I know that that is the case about me. I know that sooner or later I'm going to hear myself talking about how this person has let me down or doesn't really care about me the way I care about them. And if I get what you just said, then I know that all of that ranting and raving inside of myself, all that emotion, that storm, that upset, the it's so unfair and why does this always happen and I can't believe it's happened to me, I know that that's all part of a package that is my identity. And one of the big ways I maintain my identity is that everybody does me wrong in this particular way. That's just who I am. So
yes.
If I get it that there's no need to do anything when I'm in the throes of that, the karma will burn itself away.
Yes.
Yeah, it just goes on, the ranting, the raving, and I can be inside that going, this is karmic. Mm-hmm. This is just my ego. This is my identity maintaining itself. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing I do to keep my little karmically conditioned world intact.
Uh-huh.
I don't need to believe this. I don't. And it can even be going on. I can, you know, be right with the ranting and raving and carrying on. And I'm also just a step back from it, watching it, observing it, and realizing, nope, there is nothing that I need to do about this.
Yes. And when I think about practical techniques that you've talked about in that place, we can stay with our breathing.
Yes.
We can be aware of what the sensations are in our body. Where do we feel?
Yeah.
Tension, tightness.
Yeah. We can listen to what the voices are saying.
Yes.
And get a feeling for the position that's being maintained, the case that's
mm-hmm.
being made.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this is another person, then I can go back to the decision that I made when I was as centered as I could be to love this person unconditionally.
Yes.
And then that's what I choose.
Absolutely.
That's what I have a chance to choose. Instead of going one more time with that same dramatic story and following it to its non-conclusion and finding myself in the same place again, I can make a different choice to watch it all play itself out and remain in this unconditionally loving place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because so much of that case that's being made is for why you shouldn't stay with this person. Why you need to get rid of this person, why this person is a threat to you, or whatever it is.
Right.
And so to go to that place of, well, all of that may be true, but you see, I've decided to love this person unconditionally. So
yes.
I'm going to love and accept this person regardless of the circumstances. It just doesn't matter. So your friends might say, but But do you realize the magnitude of what has happened? How could you possibly love someone who blah, 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 blah? And what you get to with that is, I know from a centered place who this person really is. So I'm not going to let my conditioning rule my decisions when his or her conditioning is ruling him or her. Okay? And
yes.
So it's making a choice for center instead of that conditioned viewpoint.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you are in your karma doing your identity maintenance, and here I am in my karma doing my identity maintenance. And within mine, there are standards that you have to meet.
Right.
And then you go into one of your survival patterns that's in absolute conflict with that. And,
right.
You know, we have the next world war.
Absolutely.
If we say, it's, I was talking about this in Dive, When You're Falling Dive.
When You're Falling Dive.
That section where I'm talking about the leaders of the countries, and they're both committed to peace.
Yes.
And they recognize that any of their citizens might do any crazy thing in the world to try to interrupt the peace process. But they are committed to peace. And it doesn't matter what anybody does, they're going to continue to choose peace.
Yes.
And of course, we could not have anything but a peaceful solution under those
Absolutely.
Circumstances.
Yes.
But because it's conditional, then I will go forward with the peace process as long as you do, and that means you and anybody in your country. If you can control all of the people in your country to do what I consider maintaining the peace
yes.
process, then we can go forward. Well, I mean, why don't we just say we're not interested in peace? Because this is never going to work.
Yes.
It won't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the same thing is true within personal relationships, and the same thing is true within ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Because within ourselves, we're always, there's always some part of us who's going to do some crazy acting out thing. We're not, you know, we're going to get distracted over here, and then somebody's going to do something hideous
yes.
over here. And if we don't have that unconditional, then that just throws it all. It throws it all away. You know, well, how can I be kind to myself when I'm capable of doing that?
Yes.
You know, how can I not judge myself as a bad, unworthy person if I have a part of me who will do that?
Yes.
And the unconditional is, yeah, I have all those parts of me, and they can do all of that and things that I've never even thought of.
Yes.
And it's a package deal. And this package gets unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes.
Not indulgence,
yes.
not license, not, but unconditional love and
right.
acceptance. This is a human being. And what a human being is all of these things, and the acceptance of this human being is unconditional.
Yeah. To me, that's been a really powerful part of this work, is accepting those parts of myself that I find really unacceptable.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that you are even supportive, although it's interesting, isn't it, that when we really find out who somebody is, what they're doing and saying and feeling and how they're being makes perfect sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really hard to be unconditionally loving and accepting if we're actually open to who a person is.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But that's the difficulty, because it's not that you're not lovable. It's what it does to my survival system to love you unconditionally.
Uh-huh.
That's where the threat is. It's not
right.
that you're a threat, because you can't actually do anything to me.
Yes.
But if I am to move to that centered place from which I can love unconditionally, I'm transformed. So it's very threatening to my ego identity survival
yes.
system.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So my system would be constantly pointing out how it's not possible to love you unconditionally, because you're this way and this way and this way and this
right.
way.
Right.
And, of course, that's all just a smokescreen.
Yeah.
Because the real threat is that I would love you unconditionally, and I would be transformed by the unconditional nature of that love.
Right. The last thing conditioning wants to happen.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we just keep finding things that are wrong to keep outside of acceptance.
Yes. Exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're not taking calls today. However, we are talking about a fascinating topic, which is unconditional love and acceptance.
And I will even give the homework, because I know toward the end of the show you're going to ask me about homework, and it just occurred to me what the homework is.
Good, and we'll repeat it at the end also.
Yes, and because I just had this experience, as a matter of fact. I found myself in a situation with somebody that I just really had a hard time getting. And I decided that this was my new best friend, that this is a person that I really like and admire. And every time I would see this person's face, I would smile. And it was amazing what happened in that process.
Wow.
Which reminds me of a favorite story of mine.
Are you going to turn that into homework first?
Yes, to do that. Oh, thank you for the reminder.
Okay.
Yeah, that I would challenge everybody to do that.
To find someone or something?
Mm-hmm.
That they find.
Let's go with the someone.
Someone.
Yeah.
Who you find completely unacceptable.
Yeah, or even just mildly enough unacceptable that they're being kept outside of the acceptable circle.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the work is to accept that person.
Yes. And to find, to make the switches inside that cause that response.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, to make those changes. So to smile when you see that person's face, and look for things about them that are charming, things that you like,
yes,
things that you enjoy, things that you appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Imagine, you know, that this is your child or whatever it is that causes that kind of switch to happen.
Yes.
So I'm reminded of St. Therese of Lisieux.
Yes.
Called the Little Flower. And when she went into the convent, her biological sister entered the convent at the same time. And there was another sister in there, another nun, who St. Therese, no, of course she wasn't St. Therese at the time, right?
Therese.
She was just Therese. Yes, the saint was added as a result of this kind of behavior. And she just really didn't care for this woman at all.
Uh-huh.
And she found it so intolerable to have her heart closed to this woman that she decided that she was going to make this woman her best friend. And she set about getting to know her and spend time with her and love her and understand her. And in fact, she got so good at it that her biological sister became jealous, thinking that Therese loved this other sister more than herself.
Wow.
And so that's what's possible for us. And again, now it's such a compelling story for those of us who like spiritual things, because, you know, that is how she went from Therese of Lisieux to Saint Therese. And that transformation that we're looking for is something that we can pursue in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we just keep expanding that, learn how to approach something in that unconditionally loving way.
Yes.
And, you know, with all of this work, start really small.
Yes.
Just, you know, maybe the first thing is a habit that somebody has that just gets on your nerves. Hey, that you would think, oh, okay, yeah, I can love this person unconditionally, but not that, and make that something that you like.
That habit.
Yeah, years ago, I read this thing in Ann Landers, where some woman was writing in, had written in complaining about her husband snoring, and this other, you know, just really got on her nerves, and she couldn't sleep, and this woman wrote in and said, my husband snored also, and he died last year, and I'll tell you, I would give anything to have him back here snoring and keeping me awake.
Oh, wow.
So it's that kind of perspective that is available to us, you know?
Wow.
So how can this very thing that I find so disturbing become something that I find endearing, lovable, charming, sweet, How do I get out of the way whatever it is that's closing my heart so that I can be open to what this actually is in this person? Yes. And, you know, snoring is such a perfect example because nobody wants to snore, right? In fact, most people, when they find out they snore, it's an embarrassment to them.
Uh-huh.
And they want not to, but they're asleep, for heaven's sake. They don't know that they're snoring. It's not like they're, you know, so that's that. Yeah, that's so, such a perfect thing because this is not the person's choice. It's something that is happening to them, and then they're being rejected because of this thing that is not their choice, that is just happening to them.
Yes.
So with that kind of thing, we can sort of get to a place of sympathy. And then how do we expand that and extend that?
Yes.
So that the very thing that has been causing a barrier between us and someone else becomes the thing that brings us closer.
Uh-huh.
And it's that literal. It's that exact. Mm-hmm. I hold it there as a barrier,
mm-hmm.
and when I bring that down, it's that very behavior that they have, that I have sought to overcome my reaction to, that brings me to a place of unconditional mm-hmm. love and acceptance mm-hmm. for that person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting thing to think that very behavior is a bridge.
Yes.
It's the thing that can create the bond of unconditional mm-hmm. love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
That's fun, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we think, no, it's just negative.
Nope.
It has no redeeming features or qualities, but it does. It's the bridge. It's the thing that gets us back to our own hearts mm-hmm. and opens our hearts to others.
Uh-huh. It'll be exciting to hear from people as they
do practice
this homework. And
yeah.
Yes. Sherry, you were talking earlier about commitment in the context of relationship and when things get hard, and it occurred to me that that's why we call this a practice.
Yes.
And sometimes we talk about a willingness muscle.
Yes.
And we practice.
Yes.
And that gets stronger.
Mm-hmm. And that's why meditation is such a wonderful mm-hmm. piece of this, because very few people want to sit down and sit still for extended periods of time. They just don't.
Yes.
And as we find the willingness to do that, because we know it's going to take us somewhere that we want to be, let's face it.
Yes.
If we weren't getting something out of it for ourselves, probably nobody would ever do it.
Yes.
But, you know, we hear rumors that it'll lead us to greater compassion or peace or equanimity or whatever it is that we think sounds good. And so we practice doing that, and we strengthen that muscle. So I'm sitting there and I think, oh, I can't stand it. You know, this is boring. My knee hurts. My nose itches. I hate it. This is stupid. Why am I doing it? And I just sit still through that. And eventually, I find myself dropping into this kind of deep place where none of those things are a problem, and there's a sense of well-being and ease, and I think, okay, well, if I have to go through that period to get to that, well, okay, maybe that's all. Now, we're collapsing this, because for many people, it takes a long time to get to these stages. And then, eventually, I get to that place of realizing that, you know, I'm not that fidgeting, not liking this, can't stand it. That's conditioning, and who I am is that deep place of equanimity and well-being that talked me into sitting in the first place. And so I practice that, practice it. And what I'm learning is I can go through discomfort because there is something on the other side of that. The
yes.
discomfort is the thing that's keeping me from my authentic nature. And I need to sit with whatever that is, and then I will return to that authenticity, to that well-being, and all will be well. And I learn that.
Yes.
And then it gets easier. When
yes.
I'm lifting weights, my trainer will say, because she'll say, this, and I'll go, I can't lift that. And she'll say, it's okay, I'm right here with you, and all I want you to do is get under it. Just get under the weight, because it's mental.
Yes.
Yes. You know, you just get under it once, yes. and then you think, oh, okay, well, I can see how that's possible.
Yes.
And once we see that it's possible, then we set about achieving it. And that's what we're doing with the sitting practice, with awareness. You know, we at first, we think, oh, no, I really can't stand this. But slowly over time, we get it that, no, those voices come up. They say the same thing. And, in fact, I can stand it. I have stood it. I've gone through things that probably felt a lot worse than this. It's going to be fine. I'm going to pass through it.
Yes.
And I'm going to get to the other side of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting.
Mm-hmm. The willingness muscle.
And
willing to go through all that is keeping me from my authentic nature mm-hmm. in the form of, I don't like that, I don't like them, I don't like him, I don't like her, that is unacceptable, no, I cannot possibly love that, and realizing that, sure I can.
Yes.
And the only one that is being harmed by my inability to love unconditionally is me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is, in fact, not hurting anyone else
yes.
that I am judging them or criticizing them.
Yes.
It's not, because most of it happens inside my own mind.
Yes.
So they don't even necessarily know that it's going on. And even if they do, it's a little blip on their chart. I am living with it all the time.
Right. And when I get that the only person that's hurting is me, then...
Why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this?
Yeah. Then practicing unconditional becomes much more appealing mm-hmm. to us. Because it is, as you say, it's a practice. This is something that we can practice moment by moment by moment by moment by moment.
Right.
And we practice it because we're not good at it.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll be there sometimes.
That's
then
right.
We won't be there.
It's exactly it. Yeah. In the same way that person playing the piano practices and practices and practices and practices.
For years.
I was playing golf recently, and my golf partner, my golf teacher, said, isn't it amazing how your standards change? You know, going from, I hit the ball. It's a good day. I hit the ball. And it actually left the ground and went in a forward direction. This is a good day. To, well, yeah, you know, I hit it all the way to the green, but it's in the woods next to the green.
Right.
You see, now that's not okay.
Right.
And so we just keep fine-tuning and fine-tuning and fine-tuning and fine-tuning. We're practicing. And now back to, I can't remember when we were talking about this, but if I could stand up there and hit that ball into the cup with every shot, it would be hell, right? It would not be golf.
Uh-huh.
There would be no sense in doing it. It would
because it's so easy.
It's so easy. There's no fun. There's no challenge. There's no excitement. There's no the unknown aspect of it. It's just predictable and boring and dull, and we think, wouldn't it be really great just to hit that ball into the cup? Sure, once. But every time, no, it wouldn't be great.
Right.
And so
right.
practicing in that same way with ourselves, sometimes my heart is completely open. Sometimes it's not completely open. If it were completely open all the time, what would that be like?
Mm.
You know, we assume that it would be wonderful, but would it be? Would it be? Huh. I don't know. You made reference a while back to leaving home for the joy of coming back home.
Yes.
How wonderful home is when you've been away from it.
Yes.
Would we find life completely intolerable with an absolutely open heart? Well, isn't that an interesting thing to wonder? What would it be like to be around other people? Would they, in fact... be just endlessly dear and sweet and lovable, or would there be a certain difficulty in seeing so clearly what's possible and realizing that people aren't there?
Hmm.
So would we idealize suddenly tomorrow morning waking up with the heart completely open and no preparation for it, no practice, no getting there? No understanding what people go through in a process of going from a closed heart to an open heart? I don't know that it would be a good thing.
Wow. Fascinating. Never even considered that. It seems that when people do this kind of practice, that's what becomes idealized.
Yes.
Being open-hearted all the time.
Yeah.
Rather than just seeing what's here, what's here now.
That's right.
What's here next.
Yes, rather than being in this moment, truly present in this moment.
Yes.
So it's a very subtle way of saying, but I'm still going to find something unacceptable. See, because I want my heart to be open all the time. It's not enough that it's open
95%
of the
time.
That's right. Some of the time, it's unacceptable then that the heart is not open all the time. But you see, you can't. That's not possible, right? So if the heart is open all the time, then it is acceptable that the heart is not open all the time, right? So if we have reached the unconditional includes the conditional.
Wow. Wow, that's exciting.
Yes.
Yes. I hope you've been enjoying this conversation. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we've been talking about unconditional love and acceptance. We're not taking your calls today, but we will soon. And stay tuned. At 6 p.m. we have DJ Deka with some great world music. At 9 p.m. we have the Bot of Euphony. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're not taking calls today, but we will soon. If you'd like to contact us in the meantime, you can send us email at openair@kzsu.org. Today we've been talking about unconditional love and acceptance. And Sherry, I was thinking, as we were talking about relationships, all the projection that goes on in that context.
Yes. And the way life seems to be set up is it's so wonderful, because I can only approach unconditional love and acceptance for someone else through unconditionally loving and accepting myself.
Right. There's one process.
There's one process, yes. Because here is where I feel it first. Why are things intolerable? Why are things unacceptable out there? Well, of course, because they're unacceptable in here. Because they go against my conditioning. And I'm sure we've talked about this any number of times, that the things that I find unacceptable in you, I find unacceptable because when I'm around you and you are doing that, it puts me in touch with a process that I'm doing that I'm not consciously aware of.
Yes.
So every time I see you doing it, I feel it inside myself. It's intolerable that I have that inside myself. And so I just want to get rid of you.
Yes.
Because if I get rid of you, then I don't ever have to be aware of this. So maybe, let's say it's manipulation. And I've identified that you are a really manipulative person. And it's funny because the way I see you as manipulative, now maybe there are 100 ways to manipulate, okay? But I identify something in you as manipulative, and it is exactly what I'm doing inside, okay? Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's very helpful when we get to that point of finding these things helpful, because I don't have to say, well, you're manipulative in this way, but gosh, I wonder how I'm manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
I am manipulative in exactly the same way, and the odds are really good that I am being manipulated internally in this very situation. In other words, the way that I'm not being allowed to see how I am, the way I'm being manipulated not to see how I am is being done in exactly the way that I see you being manipulative.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether you're manipulative or not, and probably never will. But projecting that out in that way, I have a chance of following it back and seeing it in myself.
Uh-huh.
Now, the way the unconditionally accepting helps is that I'm required to be with you being that way because I love and accept you unconditionally.
Yes.
So part of that is as you manipulate.
Yes.
So then I'm watching you manipulate, right? And it doesn't matter that that's going on in the sense that I don't get rid of you, I don't stop speaking to you, I don't talk to other people about how manipulative you are. You know, I don't do all those standard defense kinds of behaviors.
Yes.
And so I'm just left with watching that happen over and over and over. Now, if I'm smart, I know that I'm projecting, and so I can bring it back and watch for it in here.
Yes.
But even if I don't remember that I'm projecting, I will begin to recognize that process in myself because I'm seeing it mirrored in you. Uh-huh. And slowly it begins to dawn on me that I'm like that as well.
Yes.
Now, if I'm unconditionally loving and accepting of you for being that way, then that unconditional love and acceptance is going to extend to me.
Yes.
Right? And I can't really see it in myself without that same kind of commitment to being unconditionally loving and accepting. So
yes.
The whole thing, you know, starts and grows together. It grows in my relationship with me and in my relationship with you.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, as that becomes unconditionally acceptable, then when I see it anywhere, I have a different relationship with it. Suddenly,
yes.
Manipulation becomes a whole different, interesting, fascinating even, way human beings adapt and cope.
Yes.
Now
yes.
I've reached a place of expanded awareness, compassion,
yes.
Clarity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you were talking about that manipulation, I had this image of conditioning inside of you is setting you up to see the world through that set of glasses, so to speak.
Exactly, because we're taught that if I can see it out there, it means I'm not that.
Uh-huh.
We've been taught to believe what is exactly the opposite from what is true.
Amazing.
Yeah, that in fact, everything I see outside of me, I see outside of me because it's inside of me.
Absolutely.
But once you buy the notion that, oh, well, if I'm seeing it in him, then that means I'm not that way.
Right.
Which I think is how most people view it.
Right.
As soon as you buy that, then all of that stuff can be handled. All of the ways people are can be handled in this cruel, punishing, judgmental, critical
yes.
sort of way. And, of course, it's happening to us at the same time, but we don't know it. So if I'm criticizing you, judging you and criticizing you for being manipulative,
yes.
I have the illusion that I'm not that way. That's why it's so upsetting to me that you're that way,
yes.
because I'm not that way. But of course, on a deeper level, I know that I am.
Yes.
And so the fact that I'm criticizing you, every criticism of you is a judgment of me.
Yes.
So that's the way that self-hatred is self-hatred, whether it's projected outward onto somebody else or it's directly focused inward on me.
Yes.
Because there is, on the deepest level, we sense or experience that there is no difference. I can't criticize you and not feel the criticism.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not just that it feels negative. You know, there are people who love to gossip, just tear people to shreds and think that it's really enjoyable. But on a deeper level, a level right underneath, if they mm-hmm. could actually tune in to what's going on with mm-hmm. them, it doesn't feel good at all mm-hmm. because we're only mm-hmm. ever talking about ourselves, and
yes.
we know that.
Yes. And I've heard you quote Christmas Humphreys before along those lines about doing the act, cruel, punishing, whatever, is punishment in itself.
Yeah, we're punished by what we do, not because of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That the very act of cruelty brings a cruel act to ourselves. I
yes.
don't know how to say that more clearly, but
yes.
yeah.
So yes.
Whatever I'm doing to you is happening to me. In fact,
right.
it's happening to me first. So
yes.
on Sunday at the monastery, somebody in group was there, new, and listening to the daily recollection, and it says not to be angry. And this person was concerned about that because she finds anger, getting in touch with anger, not repressing it, to be very helpful for her. And it is, of course, yes. As a process, it is very helpful. And we were talking about the not to be angry.
Yes.
And it's in that way that if I am being angry, then that anger is in me, destroying me.
Mm-hmm.
It can seem like I'm directing it at you because you're doing it wrong, or at them, you know, that kind of righteous indignation and the judgment leveled against the people who are. But all of the anger that I could ever project outward onto them resides in me.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, for anybody who's had that experience, you know, it can eat you alive.
Yes.
Again, having very, very little effect on anybody else.
Yes. I think, is it a Buddhist image of anger as picking up a hot coal?
Yes.
And then throwing it at someone else?
Yeah. Oof.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that says it, doesn't it? So, yeah. I mean, even if you hit the other person, what are the odds of that, given the amount of agony you're in trying to hold on to this thing?
Yes.
Yeah. What damage could you do to them compared to what you have done to yourself?
Yes.
So, that in the same way, in what we would think of as a negative, that it's for me and for you, right? It's all the same process. If I hate you, I'm the one experiencing the hatred. The other side of it, what we would think of as the positive, is true. If I'm loving you, I'm loving me.
Yes.
If I'm loving you unconditionally, I'm loving me unconditionally.
Yes.
If I'm accepting you, I'm accepting me. And so every time we can expand that, it's not that we expand it for what's out there. We expand it because it's our own life experience.
It's a good deal.
It's very good.
Yes, and this discussion can only lead me to what you've said many times, which is there are no others.
Yes.
So there is that, at that deeper level, there is whatever's going on with me is going on externally as well.
Yes, yeah, because there is no external, because we are one, whether we like to face that or not, we are. And so those images of cells, you know, all of this world of reality is cells in the body of the Buddha. Then to consider it that way, what could we do that is not either harmful or beneficial for all? Because
yes.
There is no separation.
Yes. And I loved when you were talking earlier about, you know, we're all made up of these cells and these atoms, and it seems kind of random that, you know, these atoms showed up in me and these atoms showed up in you. And
mm-hmm. And who knows where they're headed next?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Exciting. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're talking about unconditional love and acceptance today. We're not taking your calls today. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can send us email at openair@kzsu.org. Sherry, you were talking a little bit earlier about lifting heavy objects.
Yes.
And
my personal passion.
Your personal passion. And seeing a task that looks really difficult, but yet sort of going into it with a sense of, I'm gonna try this.
Yeah.
I'm willing to step into that place.
Yes, with the understanding that, of course, I'm not good at it yet.
Yes.
Of course I can't do this right now.
Right, right. And I can back out?
Yes, and yeah, because if I could, I already would have. That's what makes it new. And then when we realize that and we have that experience of trying it out, so that's the, you know, you find this one little quality in this person and just open yourself to the possibility of accepting this, of imagining that the person that you love most in the world has that quality. Could you accept it? Could you stand it? Well, okay, that's all, you know, yes, maybe. That's all the farther we need to go. Because I'm trying it out. I'm trying out those willingness muscles, those unconditionally loving and accepting muscles. And little by little, we grow in strength as we practice.
Yes.
And if we get to the point where the practicing is the fun.
Yes.
You know, I don't lift heavy objects because I'm going anywhere. You know, I am not going to be Miss Universe. And in fact, yeah, I mean, it doesn't do anything. It's just for the sheer fun of doing it.
Yes.
When we get to that place, it doesn't make me a better person. It doesn't make me a bad person if I don't. It does, you know, I'm not going to live forever as a result of it. I just enjoy the challenge. I enjoy being in a position where there's something that I can't do, and then working toward it, and realizing that, wow, and now I can.
Mm-hmm.
So we can apply that kind of attitude of mind, that strengthening the willingness muscles, to any area where we struggle or suffer. We can realize that with practice, we can move to the other side. We can bring that, whatever that is, into the circle of acceptance, and use it as a way of transforming ourselves and bringing a very different perspective to all of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, as you were talking, and you've talked about this before, if I don't have that process of self-hatred going on, it's easier to go and try new things.
Oh,
because
yes.
They're not going to work. It's not going to work the first time.
That's right.
But if I'm not beating myself up over it, then who cares?
Who cares? And you can learn. You can improve.
Right.
You can enjoy it more. You can get more subtle. You can,
yes.
Pretty soon you'll be able to play whole songs on that piano. I mean, things other than Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Yeah, and it's a
yes.
process. Life is a process. And we have two choices. It can be a process of misery and suffering, or a process of liberation and joy. And we have the ability to make that choice.
I'll take the latter.
Sign me up for that one.
Sign me up. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We've had a very exciting discussion today on unconditional love and acceptance. Coming up next at 6 p.m., we have DJ Decca with At the Cafe Bohemian. And at 9 p.m., we have The Bot of Euphony. I'd like to remind people about the homework, which you mentioned earlier, which is to find someone unacceptable in your life.
Some little trait they have. You don't have to take on the whole person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And find a way to accept that,
uh-huh.
that trait.
Mm-hmm. Find that. Find how you're like that.
Yes.
Right? Because that's a big part of it.
Oh, yuck.
Ooh. Yeah. So we find out how we are like that, and then embrace that in ourselves and in the other person, and let it be a bridge from heart to heart.
From heart to heart. And then call us and let us know your experience.
Yeah, tell us what happened.
That's great.
We love good news.
Yes. Sherry, do you want to take a few seconds and talk about the Golden Gate Bridge Walk?
Yes, October 25th.
Saturday.
Saturday. People can join us at 9 a.m., have breakfast, a little yoga, and then we'll all take off and walk across the Golden Gate Bridge with our fancy new second annual Zimbabwe Vulnerable Children Project T-shirts, and we'll bring our friends and our relatives and our checkbooks, and we'll
yes.
Create a good amount of money to send over and help out some people who are in really difficult straits right now.
Yes,
as we know, that's not just the HIV AIDS epidemic, but it's half the population of a nation on the brink of starvation. So
yes.
We want to talk more about that, because there's a great deal that we can do, and it's fun to participate, and we would love to have everybody out there with us on Saturday, October 25th.
Yes.
And they can contact us, email us here at
openair@kzsu.org.
Yeah, or visit our website, either sherryhuber.com or livingcompassion.org, and
exactly.
find out more, and call us up, email us, and join the party.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. As you may have guessed, today was a pre-recorded show because Sherry has just arrived in Italy, where she's going to be working on the Assisi Peace Center. If you want more information about that, please check out the website, which is livingcompassion.org. That's livingcompassion.org. I'd like to thank all of our listeners today, and please join us next week. Sherry's going to be joining us live from Italy in the middle of the night over there. If you have a burning question in the meantime, you can email us at openair@kzsu.org, or you can wait and give us a call next week. That's Tuesdays, 5 to 6 p.m. Archives of all the shows are available at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com. Next up, we have the news from 6 to 6:15 p.m. And then that trademark Great World Music from DJ Decca from 6:15 to 8 p.m. And then Mike will be on the air from 8 to 10 p.m. So please stay tuned to KZSU Stanford.